Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So, the Lord gave this message to Jonah. So, Jonah is a prophet. And this is a funny book because usually in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets, what they do is they tell you what God says. But the book of Jonah tells you about Jonah's life. So it's completely different. So God was speaking. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, whose name means dove, son of Amittai. And his name means faithful one, which is kind of ironic when you get into the book of Jonah to see that he is from the faithful one. So God says to Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Okay, so we need to know a little bit about Nineveh. The greatest enemy to Israel was the Assyrians, and Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. It was a big, prosperous city, and the Assyrians were cruel people. And you don't even want to read the stuff that they used to do to people. To their enemies, they would behead them, and in fact, there's stories about them skinning people alive. They were wicked. They were wicked, evil people. Wicked, evil people. And they were the enemy, the prime enemy of Israel. So God says to Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. So right away we know that God likely has Jonah's attention. Kind of like saying in the middle of the war, you're going to be going to Berlin or Germany or somewhere. And he says, announce my judgment against it. Announce my judgment against Nineveh, because I have seen how wicked its people are. God is acknowledging these are wicked, wicked people. And he says to Jonah, I want you to go there and tell them that they're wicked. Heck no. Let me think about that for 25 seconds. But, now I'm gonna be a spoiler alert here. It wasn't that Jonah was afraid to go. He was not afraid to go. He did not want to go. But he was not afraid to go. He tells us later on why he doesn't want to go. So God says, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to tell them how wicked they are. But Jonah got up. And he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Let's think about that for 1 minute. This is a prophet of the Lord. He's a pretty smart guy, probably passed all of his exams in Bible college. And he gets up and he goes in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Is there anybody in this place who thinks you could go anywhere and get away from the Lord? If so, raise your hand. He's going to get away from the Lord. So he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. So Tarshish is about 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. So he and Tarshish is actually on the edge. It's almost nowhere land. It is almost in the sea. It is almost dropping into the sea, and it is small and insignificant at this time. So he bought a ticket and he went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. Hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm. The Lord brought this storm that threatened to break the ship apart. The Lord made the storm. Now, we're looking at Jonah right now and we're thinking, you know, this is not the brightest thing for you to think that you can run away anywhere from the Lord. And we all kind of go, oh, Jonah, you know, really? I would suggest to you today that just about everybody here at one time or another, hello, has tried to run away from the Lord in your own fashion. It might not look like this, but you have made an attempt at some point to get out of the Lord's vision. So we're kind of making fun of him, sort of. So the storm comes, it's going to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods. So there was some heathen sailors on board, and they were shouting out to their gods to save them because they know that their lives are in danger. And they began to throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. They know the ship is going down. The ship is going to go down. So they start to get rid of the cargo. But all this time, Jonah was where? Sound asleep in the hold. He's having a snooze. And he's having a rest. And he's not anxious. And he's not worried. And he's not upset. Because he is so glad. He is so glad that he is not in Nineveh. He's finally getting a good night's sleep because he is where he wants to be, asleep at this time, and the ship is rocking. I also want to suggest to you, at times when you have run away from the Lord, you have been in a sleep. You hear me? You've been snoozing. You've just taken a big rest. And you have fallen asleep in your own will and in your own way. So now we have Jonah. He's having a lovely rest in the ship that is coming apart. Sound asleep. So the captain went down after him. And how can you sleep at a time like this? That's a really good question. Get up and pray. This is awesome. This is the heathen captain of this ship. And he's saying, get up and pray. He's talking to the guy. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Our gods have not done anything. Maybe your God will do something. And then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. They pick it out. Oh, there's one guy left and his name is Jonah. That identified him as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? I like this part. What is your line of work? What do you do for a living that you have caused this mess to come down on us? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? What should we do? What can we do to you? This surprises me every time I read it. He says, throw me into the sea. I've got the best solution ever. Just chuck me overboard. And it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Now, that's actually kind of a bad idea, the throwing overboard part. And so the sailors hear this and they think, okay, this guy is a follower of God and we're going to throw him overboard. What's going to happen to us if we throw this guy overboard? So instead, the sailors, you gotta love this. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. They gave it a good try. They didn't just chuck him out. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And then they cried out. Then these heathen sailors cried out to Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Now, that's pretty good for people who don't even know God, right? They got it all figured out. Surely you caused this storm for a reason. We don't even know about your God, but we're pretty sure you must have done something for a reason. And then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. Now who's seeing the Lord God? These heathen sailors. So great. And they offered him a sacrifice. Now they're sacrificing to Jonah's God. They're celebrating. This is so amazing. This is the God of gods. Never mind our gods. We know the real God now. And they vowed to serve him. All the sailors on board got saved. Yay, God. Yay, God. He can turn all things together for good. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish. Now we always talk about Jonah and the whale. Nowhere in here does it say it was a whale. It was a great fish. It was a great big fish. And so we sort of say, well, it was a whale, kind of like when, you know, Eve picks the fruit from the tree and we call it an apple. Poor apples. What did apples ever do to us? Nowhere in the Bible does it say it was an apple. It was some fruit picked from a tree. But we blame the apple and we always blame the whale. So we can stop doing that right now. We're going to call the whale a big fish. From now on, it's just a big fish. Okay, everybody got that? Big fish. Okay, it's a big fish. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. And of course, we know that Jesus said, when the Pharisees came to him and said, give us a sign, he said, the only sign I'm ever going to give you is a sign of Jonah, that he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. And then Jonah, so now Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. Now Jonah is now back in his faith situation. But we have to pay attention to what he prays. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. Now, he is not talking about the great trouble he's having inside the fish. He's talking about the great trouble he had while he was drowning in the sea. So let's just stay with it. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. He sank. The heart of the sea is the bottom. He bottomed out. He hit bottom. Jonah hit bottom. The mighty waters engulfed him. He says, I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. And then I said, oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Now I am really away from your presence right now, God. Yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed, don't you get a picture of this? Seaweed wrapped around my head. He's at the bottom of the sea. He's got seaweed wrapped around his head. He is dying. He is taking his last breath. Seaweed wrapped around his head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, but you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. How many of you have been snatched from where you were going, and you are so glad that he snatched you from wherever you were when you bottomed out. Somewhere you hit the bottom, and you went, oh, wow, oh, God, I need you. And God said, I'm going to snatch you out of that mess you created for yourself. All Lord's people said, amen. You snatched me from the jaws of death as my life was slipping away. He is having a near-death experience. And all of a sudden, God is very important again. I remembered the Lord. That is really a good idea. I really liked it when Matthew was given his testimony at the baptism. And he said, you know, I lived with my grandma, and she used to pray before meals. She used to pray before we ate, and she would pray at bedtime. And I hope I'm paraphrasing this, okay, Matthew. I didn't really get why we were doing that, you know, but kind of went along with it. I just prayed because that's what we did, and then at bedtime prayed because that's what we did. Then Matthew hit the bottom of the sea, and he had seaweed curled around his head. And you know what happened? He remembered. He remembered what his grandma said. He remembered about prayer. And he found himself, I think the story goes, he found himself in the shower. And he was weeping, and he cried out to God. He cried out to God, and God snatched him from the bottom of where he was, and he placed him exactly where he should be. And he was baptized on Sunday, and all Lord's people said, amen. Woo, woo, woo. Right? And his grandma is here today. And aren't we thankful for grandmas who teach kids how to pray? I am. Yay, grandmas. Yay, grandmas. And little Grayson Gowdy and his dad and his brother were baptized. And Grayson gave his little testimony, and he said, I believe in Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I want him in my life. And a person who's really made a big impact in my life is my grandma, Miss Marcella, he says. Miss Marcella, yes. And then Hadley Benwell stood up, and she gave her testimony. And you know what she said? My grandma and grandpa took me to church. They took me to church, and that's why she was standing on that riverbank getting baptized, because grandma taught her to go to church. Right, grandma and grandpa? God, we are so grateful for, we remember. So here's Jonah is in the bottom of the sea with the seaweed wrapped around his head. And he said, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. He said, oh, I get it. God is God, right? God is God. You didn't save yourself. Nobody else can save you. Your friend can't save you. Your wife can't save you. Nobody can save you. Your salvation came from God and God alone and your relationship that you have with him. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. And he said to Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So now we've been all around this long, big route. Now he says, now, are you ready to go to Nineveh? And are familiar to anybody? Anybody? You're smiling because it's familiar to you because you've had to go more than once around, right? But he says, deliver the message I've given you. I'm just going to read the message that God had given him. So the message is, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. That's what Jonah was supposed to say. God is judging you. You are wicked. He has seen your wickedness and he is going to bring judgment against you. So this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command, and he went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds. Here comes his message. This is the message that he took. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Huh? That is not the message that God told him to take to Nineveh. So what he basically said, in 40 days, you guys are toast. That's what he said. The amazing part is, he didn't say anything about repenting. He didn't say anything about it. He just said, you guys are toast. In 40 days, you're all going to be done. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. This city began to repent in spite of the dismal. That's got to be one of the worst messages I've ever heard. But in spite of that, the people got the message that they had better repent. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. He took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes, repenting. And then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. So this is what went out from the king. This is what the city heard. No one, not even the animals from your herds or flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. Even your animals are going to fast. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning. You know how when you're dressing up your pup and you got your coat on, Can you imagine what Nineveh looked like? Everybody's dressing up their cows and their sheep, and they're putting on garments on everything, and they're mourning, and they're all walking around in burlap, and they're all like looking. And you know how sad your dog looks when you put that stupid looking coat on them? That you can imagine the look on the sheep and the goats, and everybody, like, they're all just miserable because they're wearing this stupid burlap. Just picture it. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. This is the king saying this. They must turn from their evil ways, and this is not at all what Jonah told them, but somehow they got this message. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. This city and its people and its animals went into repentance. They were so sorry for everything evil that they had done. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. Changed his mind. So now we have to look over at Jonah. God changed his mind. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, right? Come on, God, you're making me look like an idiot here. I show up, I tell the city that in 40 days they're going to be wasted, they're going to be gone, and you change your mind? I look like a nutcase. Jonah is mad at God. And he became very angry. Anybody ever been ticked off with God? God, look what you did. I thought you told me that, and I did it, and my whole neighborhood's laughing at me. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? Didn't I say before I left, before I ran away the first time, I knew you were going to do this. I knew that you were going to do this. That is why I ran away to Tarshish. See, I told you, it's not because he was afraid. This is the craziest reason ever to run away from God. However crazy your reason is, this is crazier. Okay, here we go. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. That's why I ran away. That's why I ran away, because I knew that you were going to have mercy on that city, and I hate that city, and I hate those people, and I want you to torch them, and I didn't want to go and give them a second chance. You with me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You were eager to turn back from destroying people. I'll tell you what. Is there times in your life when you are so glad that God is compassionate and he is filled with never-ending love and he's slow to anger? What if God was fast to get angry with you? How many? I'd be a little cinder. I'd be a little, right? What if he got really mad at you for all the things that you've done? Man, imagine if we had that kind of power. If you guys made me mad. Come on. Yeah. I'll talk to you later. Just kill me now, Lord. Just kill me now. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. You've shown compassion. You've shown empathy. You've shown unfailing love. And now I know what you're going to do. You're going to just save that city. And I want them all dead. So I would rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. So if you don't torch them, I would rather be dead. And the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Now, when we're the ones who are at fault, I'm so grateful for his compassion and his empathy and his slow to anger. But when it's on somebody else, when it's on that person who somebody did somebody wrong song, that's when I want him to be the angry God. That's when I want him to bring out his torchability. Okay, that's not actually a word, but it really works well. Just go, you know what I mean? That's when you want him to bring out that. So God asks him, is it right for you to be angry about this? Is my love for Nineveh a reason for you to be angry at me? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city. You know what is crazy? He just turns away and walks. He ignores God. God asks him a question and says, is it right? And Jonah just walks away. Jonah went to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen in the city. He walked across the city. He went outside the city. He sat down and he had a pouty lip. His lip couldn't have come out any further and he was ticked off. And he said, I'm just going to sit right here and see what happens. He's in a mood. He is in a mood. So he went to the east and he made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see. And the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. God, you are so good. This guy has walked away. He's ignored you. He's having a big pout. He's arguing with you about your will. And he stormed across the city and he's made a shelter and he's sitting in it pouting. And you caused this beautiful plant to come and cover him and bring him shade. Watch what he does. This eased his discomfort. Oh, never mind. No, I can't. So he was very uncomfortable. Have you ever been in a big pout and maybe you're fretting with your spouse or something and you're in a big pout and you're going to go out and you slam the door and you're really dramatic and then you're stuck outside the house and I don't know how to go back in now, and I'm sitting out here, and I'm really uncomfortable because I made a big scene, and I'm sure none of y'all have ever done that. It's probably only me, right? So now he's super uncomfortable in his big pout, sitting in the sun, and he is baking to death. And God sends this plant, and it covers him, and it shades, and it eases his discomfort. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. If you've been sitting in the hot sun for more than a few hours, you've got to know that plant was a blessing on that man's head. So here he's now sitting under the shade, and he hasn't been grateful about one thing that's happened all along, and he is so grateful for that big plant. All of a sudden, he is so grateful. He loves this plant. He loves this plant. I love this plant. This plant is easing my discomfort. But God also arranged for a worm. Come on, you can't make this stuff up. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant, so it withered away. Now he doesn't have a plant. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. Now he's really uncomfortable. He hasn't got a plant. This east wind is hot. He's even hotter than he was yesterday. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and he wished to die. Man, I just want to die right now. Death is certainly better than living like this. This is awful. He has made a mess for himself. And he ever made a mess for yourself, and you're sitting in it, in the discomfort of it, the heat of it, the mess of it, and God has sent a worm to get you to the bottom of where you need to go. And then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Think about it. When he left, he didn't have a plant. He had no plant. God was gracious and loving enough, showed up, gave him a plant. And then when the plant dies, he's all mad at God. And God says, really? Is it right that you should be angry about not having a plant? You are being unreasonable, Jonah. And Jonah says, yes. Yes, it's right. Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die. I am so angry, I just want to die. And then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Here you are fussed about a plant, and you're wondering why my heart is broken over a city. Now, church, let's just have a look at some of the things that we might walk away from this with. There is a There is the odd beach that you don't want to get spit out on. Is there a beach of unforgiveness in your life? If God said to you, well, you need to go and forgive that person who's done you wrong, are you jumping up and down and saying, God, I'm going to go this afternoon. I'll be there. I'll be there in Nineveh right away. Or are you looking for somewhere to hide? Are you looking for somewhere to hide? What about bitterness? What about resentment? And I can say, I can come up with all kinds of good reasons, but God, these people who did me wrong, and you can tell your own story. These people did me wrong, and I can give examples of what they did to me. Things that they said. These people have said such bad things about me that other people don't even like me anymore. They don't even want to be my friend anymore. Do you feel sorry for me right now? Right? Is it your story? Is there someone in your story? God, they have hurt me so badly. They have hurt, and it's real. They really were wrong. They really did hurt you. They really were wicked. Maybe they were even evil. They really did it. But do you know what God says? Go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. Go to where you don't want to go. And we laugh at him running away. But I run away. I run away when I don't want to forgive. I run away when I'm bitter and I'm angry about something that somebody, and I can give my case before God and I can look angelic. I can paint myself in such a great picture that they look like Satan and I look like Jesus. You can do that too in your story. You can make yourself look so good and other people so bad. And even though God knew that Nineveh was wicked, he still loved those people and cared for those wicked people. And he is not going to bring down fire upon them. Even though they repented and they asked for forgiveness, do you know, it wasn't that many years later that they were slaughtering Israel again. And you know what? God still loves them. And that's where we are today. And I don't want to get spat up on the beach of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. But what I do want to do is do what my God says. And what my God says to me is forgive them. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgive them. That person, I want you to think of that person, those people that have hurt you so badly. It might even be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be a loved one. It could be a stranger. It could be a friend. Whoever it is, don't run away from what God would have you do. And what God would have you do is to forgive them. To forgive them. We can't really laugh at Jonah, although we do. But we run, and then we run really fast, and we think we can hide from God. We think he won't see this part. He can see all the good things. Maybe he can see all the good things. Maybe he'll just overlook this part. God will not overlook this part. So we bring our hearts. Can I have the worship team come up? Church, let's just bring our hearts before the Lord. Let's just shut our eyes for a minute. Think about that person, those people, that partner. Who has wounded you so badly? Who has said such hurtful things? Who has done such harm in your life? And can we, rather than try and hide that from God, why don't we just open it up to God today and say, God, I want to be in Nineveh. I want to forgive those who've brought me harm. God, I just, please don't let me run away from it. Please don't let me hold their words against them. I can prove to you how evil they are, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm just going to forgive them. Just going to forgive them. Church, let's really take the word of God seriously. Let's really take it seriously. There is no room for unforgiveness at the cross. We don't want to go to sleep. We don't want to ignore. We don't want to run away. We don't want to get angry and distance ourselves. But God, we know that you love our enemies and that you care for them. You ask us to forgive those who have caused us harm. And we know that it's not anything close to the sacrifice that you had made. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Only his word can penetrate our hearts so deeply that he would empower us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. I know it's painful. I have my own trespassers. But I don't want to harbor that. I don't want to run away. I don't want to hide that part. I just want to forgive them and let it be. And so do you. So do you. Oh, word of God, speak.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.